Peches Amid Aleph, about 15 lines down from the top, the two dots. And the Gemara is dashing Vayisiatzvu Besachtis Hahor. Very famous statement in Chazal, in the Agadita here. Omar Rabbi Avdimi Bar Chama Bar Chasa. What does it mean, Betachtis Hahor? And that phrase is a little bit odd. Al Pipshuto Shem Mikra. It sounds like they were standing at the foot of the mountain. But Rav Avdimi darshins from the language of Betachtis Hahor. It doesn't say Tachas. That Malamed Shekofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aleim Esahar Kigigis. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu carried the mountain over their head, like you would put a gigas over Shechar, and they actually stood underneath the mountain. V'yomer lahu, and he gave them two choices. Im atem mekablim es haTorah mutav, that's fine. Im lav sham tehei kvuraschem. So we're talking about the Ribbono Shel Olam covering them with a mountain, like an unturned vat, and giving them these two choices. Now, we can talk about, you know, the people of Israel having sort of like no choice, and that's going to be the next Gemara. They just simply had no choice. Shom tei kvuraschem. And all the Mefarshim ask, but Klal Yisrael had already committed themselves, and they had expressed themselves, Kol Asher Div Hashem Naseh V'Nishma. Why do they need this kafalim? So Tosis gives an answer that maybe they would have changed their minds when they saw the fire that accompanied the giving of the Torah. And also, it could be at that moment, temporarily, their souls were detached from their bodies. The Medrash Tanchufa says that although they declared Nasa V'Nishma, that's only as far as Torah Shebichsav is concerned, but they were reluctant to accept Torah Shebal Peh, which requires such extreme discipline and dedication and effort. And for that, they needed coercion. The Maral Shita is that the need for coercion is because Klal Yisrael have an allegiance to the Torah that's not voluntary, it's not conditional, it's absolute. And if the Torah had only recorded the acceptance of Klal Yisrael, it would have implied that it's optional, it's praiseworthy, but it's not an indispensable component of existence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to demonstrate with the Har Kigigis that it's very nice that Klal Yisrael had a free will decision, but nevertheless, this Torah and Kabbalah Satorah is absolutely part of their very, very essence. That's a component of their very essential existence, and without it, they will not be able to exist. Omar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mikan Moda Rabba Lo Raisa. Just like if someone is compelling you to sign a shtar and agree to sell your property against your will, he's got a gun to your head. But you could actually, if you know that this is about to happen, you can stand in front of two witnesses and do what's called Mesiris Moda. And that Moda gives you rights by telling them what's going on and you're being coerced to back out of the deal. So Klal Yisrael, since they were publicly put under this threat, and they were anusim lekabel satorah, therefore they should be able to wiggle their way out of it if they don't want to maintain that commitment and say, well, we want to be moser moda. And according to Rav Acha, this seems to be a valid claim. And when the Torah says, Miyitein v'ayo libchem levavchem zelahem liyira osi, which sounds like they were makabal the Torah b'lev sholem, well, for example, the bris of Arvas Moav and Hagrizim, that all was likewise balkarcham, out of yira, out of fear. and they were Koreis Bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Yoshua, Lavodas Hashem, and Yoshua Perkov Dalet. And there it seems like they chose on their own. But nevertheless, Lo Kiblu Ba, Elish Lo Lavod Avodah Zara. Their self-acceptance was to be enjoined from Avodah Zara. The Ramban asks the following question. If there was, according to Rav Acha, a Mesiris Modah, why are they being punished all over the place? And you can't tell me that they have to fulfill the Gzeres HaMelech, even though it was against their will, that Gzeres HaMelech should not be valid and compulsory if they gave a Modah. And his answer is that Eretz Yisrael was not given by Hashem without a Tanai. And that condition for the gift of Eretz Yisrael was that they would fulfill the Torah. And that's explicit in Vayikra Chaf and other places. Therefore, when they violated the Torah and they went into exile, this is not subject to Modah. That doesn't lend itself to Modah. Because the entire gift of Nesinas Eretz Yisrael was conditional on the fact that they would observe the Torah. Now the Divrei Shaul in his Pirush al Torah says that onus kiman de ovid lo amrinu. We don't say that if a person is onus, it's as if he did something. And if they were not mekayim the Torah and the Tanai was not fulfilled, because their Tanai was that they should fulfill the Torah. And even if they claim, well, you know, we were onus in non-fulfilling the Torah because of kafaleim, that would be irrelevant. Omar Rav, afal pichein hader kiblu abimei achashveros, shenem adichsiv, kimu v'kiblu ayehudim. What is this double language of kimu v'kiblu ayehudim, kimu mashe kiblu kvar? And this means that now there was a Kabbalah, a new Kabbalah, during the time of Achashverosh, and that Kabbalah was totally voluntary, out of their full ratzon, their full desire and full will. Now, many nisim occurred during the course of Jewish history on behalf of the Jewish people. What's unique about this miracle of Purim? And the Gur Aryeh explains that in Purim, they accepted upon themselves new mitzvos, miratzon, like for example, mitzvos Megillah. And if they took certain mitzvos and they accepted upon themselves, then we derive that they would accept the entire Torah willingly, biratzon. Also, the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Kamma, Hamakif este chavero v'gader also mishnei shalosh ruchos im amad nika v'gider es haruach haravias megalgon es hakol. In other words, even if you accepted upon yourself part of the mitzvahs, that's considered as if you accepted all the mitzvahs. Now the Ritva has a new pshat here in the word modah. He says that Klal Yisrael were mekabel the Torah b'lev shalom, and they stood to accept the Torah, and they said, "Mi yitein v'avoy levavam zeh lahem," etc., etc. And their shvuah, it's the oath that they took, that generates a chiyuv, a commitment, even ba'onis. But what was the purpose of the Kfiyas Har? And the answer is that was for the purpose of creating a Pischan Peh for the Minim Lidchos. Besvurim Heim Sheyesh Lehem Bikan Modor Rabah. Onu Meshivim Omrim Lehem Shafil Fita Usam Ein Lehem Tainiki Kfar Kiblu Kol Yisrael Mirotzon. So that the Kfiyas Har here is meant to create a Pischan Peh for the Minim to say, well, you know what, there was Kfiyah, it's a Modar Rabbah, and what we answer to them is really that they made a mistake and they don't have a claim at all. We accepted it by Ratzon, and certainly at the time of Achashverosh. Omar Chizkiyo, my dechsiv a poskin tehillim, mishamayim ishmata din eretz yora v'shaketa. Let's be medayik in the language of this pasuk. First, let's just translate it into English, and that is, from heaven you made judgment, and you heard, the earth became afraid and grew calm. And the Gemara asks the following question. Im yira lama shketa. V'im shketa lama yira. You know, to say this calm and yet this tension, that seems to be a contradiction. Ella, but rather we should interpret the Torah the following. It's referring to Matan Torah B'tchila, before the people of Israel said, Nasa v'nishma, Yara. They were in a state of fear. B'levasof, after they accepted the Torah, Shkata. So the Gemara asks, Lama Yara, why at the beginning were they afraid? And the Gemara answers, Kidere Shlokish, the Omer Shlokish, Mai Dechsiv, Vayera Vayvoke Yom Hashishi, why the extra hey? Hey is Sarah Lomeli. Melamed Shehisna Kodesh Baruch Hu Maise Breishis V'yomalem Mimisho Mekablam Es HaTorah Mutav Atem Miskaimim V'yim Lav Ani Machzir Eschem L'Sovavo. So Yom Hashishi is referring to a special day of the sixth, and that's an allusion to the day in which they accepted the Torah on the sixth day of Sivan. And if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, on the seventh day of Sivan, but on the sixth day of Sivan, the Torah was meant to be given, Moshe added a day, is until they get to this, the entire process of Maisa Bereishis is what we call Toli V'Yomid. It's all suspended in air. And that's what the Pasuk means when it says that Kasher Shmi Hashem Es HaTorah Ha'aretz Yirei Hashem Alo Yikablua. The land and the universe itself was afraid that maybe Klal Yisrael wouldn't accept the Torah, and then the entire universe would go back, revert to Tov Vavo. Will be sof at the end, Kshikablua, then Shketa, then the universe was satisfied, was calmed down. Dorash Rav Simai, B'shoshek Timi Yisrael Nasa V'nishma, Bo Shishim Ribu, Shel Malachei HaShareis, L'kol Echad V'Echad Mi'Yisrael, Koshu Lo K'shnei K'sorim, Echad K'negin Nasa, V'Echad K'negin Nishma. Kevin Shechotu Yisrael B'Yegel, Izyardu, Mea V'Yesrim Ribu, Malachei Chabola, Uferkum, Shenemar V'Yisnatzlu B'nei Yisrael, Es Edyom, Mei Har Chorev. So this is the concept in Rav Simai's language of Higdimu Nasa Linishma. And here we have a very famous insight of the Beis HaLevi, Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik from Brisk, and his opinion is that Nasa before Nishma means that whatever you need to know how to implement the Torah, that's already built into the Kabbalah of Nasa. There's another Kabbalah of Nishma to study the Torah, even after you know whatever you have to know. And this nishma that follows after nasa is to study the Torah, commitment to study even the conceptual world of Torah. Now, as a result of nasa v'nishma, every single Jew received two crowns from the Ziv HaShechina. One crown was because of nasa, and the other one was because of nishma. So in light of Beis HaLevi, who puts all the emphasis on Hikdimu Nasa L'Nishma to indicate that Nishma means the study of Torah is an independent mean ends to an unto itself, it's not just a means to an end, that puts the emphasis here on Limud Torah as understanding Chochmas Hashem conceptually, not necessarily practically. And then Rav Simai continues and he says that Kevin Shechotu Yisrael Yardu Mea V'Yesrim Ribu Malachi Chabola U Perikum. So these are the massive amounts of Malachim that actually stripped B'nai Yisrael of these Ksarim, of these crowns. And the translation of Malachi Chabola, destructive angels, would indicate that each person had an angel. And if you consider that there were 600,000 Jewish men between the ages of 20 and 60, so we can understand why we needed Shishim Ribui Shamalachi Ashares. And these crowns radiated Shekhinah. That's what it says over here, that Tesiru Me'alem Es Edyom. Edyom means Tachshitim, that they received at Har Sinai, Har Chorev. This is all after the Cheta Egel. And these are the crowns that were removed. Omer Abchami, Rab Chanina B'Chorev Ta'anu. They originally got their crowns at Har Sinai B'Chorev Parku, but at Har Sinai themselves, they were removed. They were stripped of that jewelry at Har Sinai, meaning the beautiful crowns that represent the radiance of the Shekhinah. The Marshal holds that the crowns are a mashal, or a metaphor for the kingship, that's Malchus, and priesthood, and Kahuna, that God had alluded to when he said, Atem Tiyuli Mamleches Kohanim, etc. Now, Rav Simai emphasizes the Hakdama, as we said before, of Nasa to Nishma. And the Marsha points out that you should really understand that first they would hear, that's Nishma, and then Nasa, they would do it. And that would have meant that only hearing the reasons for the mitzvahs, the time of mitzvahs, then they will decide whether to perform them. So nasa means an absolute commitment, whether I understand the mitzvah, I don't, whether I appreciate the time of mitzvah, I don't, and then comes nishma. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'kulon zocha Moshe netolon. Moshe was zocha to pick up all these crowns. To Samachlay, because after the Pasuk says, Vaisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael's Edyom, it says immediately afterwards, Moshe yikach es ha'ohel. And Rabbi Yochanan is going to dash that the word ha'ohel here is a lashon of he'ora and zricha, like we find in Eov. It says, Behilu nero ale roshi. And Moshe was zocha to take those same ksarim of the Ziva Shechina that later on shone from his, radiated from his face, which is called Koran or Ponov, as it says, Ki Koran or Ponov Bidabro Ito. Omrei Shlokish, Osed HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lachziron Lanu. Ultimately, we will receive once again our crowns. Shenemar, it says in Yeshayahu, Ufduya Hashem Yeshuvun, Uvo Tzion Berina, V'simchas Olam Al Rosham. What is Simchas Olam? Simcha Shekvar Hoysom Eolam Al Rosham. And these are the Ksari Ziv Ashchina that they received but were taken away at Har Sinai. Omar Abu Lazar, B'shah Shekdimu Yisrael, Nase l'nishma yotza baskol v'yomer lahem migila levonai roze shemalochi ashois mishtam shimbo. Who revealed to the people this secret that I thought only the malochi ashois would have known about it? Tichsiv, it says in Tilim, Baruch Hu Hashem malochav gibore koach osei dvoro lishmo bekol dvoro. And if you read the pasuk carefully, the pasuk indicates that first it says Osei Dvaro, And then only afterwards does it say Lishmoa. So the Malachi Ashores points out, Rabbi Elazar, are called Osei Dvaro even before they are Shomei Dvaro. They're always prepared to do something even before they hear about it. They have an absolute commitment. And that was manifest by Klal Yisrael at the time of Nasav and Ishma. Omar, Rami, Rabbi Chama Barab, Chnina Maidich Siv, Pasuk in Shir Shir, Kitapuach B'yatzei Hayar, Klal Yisrael are Nimshal, are they compared to a Tapuach Lomenim Shu Yisrael, Le Tapuach Lomel Chama, Tapuach Ze, Kodem, Pirio, Kodem, Li Olav, Af Yisrael, Dimu Nasa, Linishma. So the tapuach has its fruit that come before its leaves. The fruit grow before the leaves grow. And mitzvos can be compared to fruit. The study of the mitzvos are like leaves, because performance is primary, study is only secondary. The fruit is primary, the mitzvos are primary. The study, which is the subsidiary, that's what comes later on. So we have the mitzvos, and that's nasa, and then we have nishma, which is the study. Also, the leaves of a tree protect the fruit. In the case of the fruit of an apple tree, the fruit begins to form before its leaves. Likewise, the people declare their willingness to do the mitzvahs even before they had the protection of knowing what was entailed in doing the mitzvahs. Hahut Tzduki, there was a Tzduki, a min, the Chazia l'Rava, he saw Rava dekama ayin b'shmaita. Rava was focused in a very obsessed with his sugya. V'yosva, and he was sitting, not realizing that etzba'ato dide, his fingers, were tusei kare, were underneath his feet, which I guess means that he had his feet, let's say, curled up, and he had his hands underneath his feet, v'kam mayitzbehu, and because he was so focused and obsessed with his learning, he didn't realize that his feet were actually crushing his hands, his fingers, v'kam mavon etzba'ase doma, and there was even blood coming out of his fingers. Amale, so this min turns to Rav, and he says, Amma Paziza, in Hebrew, Am Bahul V'nimaratem. You're impetuous. The Kadmisu Pumaihu Udnaihu. Your mouth comes before your ears. You accepted verbally to commit yourself to the entire Torah before you even heard it. How difficult it is. You don't know the content. You don't know the details. Will you be able to live up to the demands? And Akati, and even now I see Bipachu Zaihu Kaimisu. In other words, you're still very impulsive, like you are at the beginning. Bereshi Boilechu Lemishma. First, you should have listened to what the content of the Torah is. Imotzisu Kablisu. If you can fulfill it, then accept it. Ilo lo Kablisu. Don't accept it. That's what the Goyim did. And the Goyim asked, what's in the Torah? And as a result, they decided, it's not for me. Each nation said, I can't do it. Now, from the words of this min, you get the impression that when he saw how Rav was working so hard, sweating it out in Torah study, he understood that this toil, this sweat, was dependent upon Nasa before Nishma. What is the connection between the Amelus and the Igiyah of Rava and Nasa v'Nishma? Says the Beis HaLevi, with regard to Bnei Noach, their mitzvos that are incumbent upon them are not an absolute obligation, but their goof, in other words, it's I should say it's nothing more than an obligation. What I mean to say is that it's not that their goof is kanui for the kima mitzvah. They're not existentially committed. I mean, they're responsible. But in the case of Yisrael, what it says in Matan Torah, that atem tiyuli skula mikol ha'amim, what it means, as the Mechilta interprets it, is that they're knuyim li. And knuyim li, the oskim b'Torah means that gufam ve'atzmusam konui lavodas Hashem, they are totally existentially given over, and they identify with the service to Hashem and fulfill His mitzvahs and study His Torah. That makes them the skula mikol ha'amim. And that's because they are knuyim lo yisbarach. And this was the kavana of Klal Yisrael when they said Nasa v'nishma, that we would be gufo konui, to be avodim Hashem. And as avodim, they have a chiv to be moser atzmom lekol asher yomar lehem, for everything that Hashem says. Even if they don't know up front what's in the Torah, they've accepted a kinyan aguf as avodim. No matter what difficulties it would entail, it would impose upon them. And therefore, when this min saw the Igiyah of Rava in Torah study, till he was mafkir gufo, he gave up his own body, he would almost damage his body for the sake of understanding the Torah, then at that point the min appreciated that this is a reflection of Nasa v'nishma, that the Bnei Yisrael were makne their gufam lismaser as a mesira legamre for the purpose of Torah. Amalei, so Rava responds, Anan disginon bishleimuso, we who go in the ways of complete faith, shlemus means complete, and here it's a reference to faith. We trusted in Hashem as one would trust his beloved. There was a love relationship. We relied on Hashem. We knew that He wouldn't burden us or put a burden upon our shoulders that we couldn't live up to. Ksiv ben or bun means with regard to us, banu, it says in Mishlei, tumas yesharim tenachem, which means that the perfect faith of the upright shall lead them, meaning lead them to their destination. Hanach Inshi the Sagan Bali Lusa, those people who go in the ways of perverseness, Ksivahu, it says, Veselef Bogdim Yishadim, and the perverseness of the faithless shall destroy them. So these are the Psukim in Mishle. Omarav Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Maidich Siv, what is the interpretation of the words of Hashem to Klal Yisrael and Shir Shirim? Libavtoni Achosi Kala, you have captured my heart, my sister, O bride. And it says, in the next pasuk, it says, Libavtani Biachas Meinayach, you have captured my heart with one of your eyes. So it first starts with Libavtani, and then it goes with Achas Meinayach. Is Betchila, when you accepted upon yourselves the Torah, and you came close, and you just won my heart over. Biachas Meinayach. You only had one Kabbalah. Dover Echad. But kishetasi, meaning at the end, when you fulfill the Torah, libavtani b'shteinayich. In other words, you fulfilled shnei dvarim, both the Kabbalah and the kiyum. First, at stage one, it was the Kabbalah, the acceptance of the Torah, that was b'ayin achas, and then it was the implementation, the performance of the Torah, and that was b'shteinayich. So this pasuk is about the very special kesher, the chibur between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael, which began at Har Sinai. But at Har Sinai, there was only a Kabbalah. There was no actual implementation of the mitzvahs. And that eye, the single eye, represents the process of seeing, which can occur in one's mind. When the Jewish people accepted the Torah, they saw in their mind one eye. It wasn't until they implemented the Torah, they carried it out, then they saw physically with two eyes. Omar Ula, Aluva, Aluva is shameless. Kala, Shezmana besoch chupasa. How shameless is the bride who is unfaithful while still in her bridal chamber. And Ula is using this mashal to describe the behavior, the shameful behavior of the Jewish people when they were encamped at Har Sinai, which was the bridal chamber where God had taken them to become His holy nation in a kind of a marriage relationship, and they were unfaithful to Him by worshipping the Egel, the Cheta Egel. And Ba'odom V'Sinai, which is the place where the Bris was established, the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch and Knesset Yisrael, they made the Egel, and Saru Mimitzvosov, Omar Av Mori, Barad Abbas Shmuel, my crow, what's the pasuk that indicates this mashal, this equation to the kala that was disloyal in her very chuppah, shenemar, because it says, Ad shamel bim sibo, nirdi, nasan yirecho, while the king was still at his banquet, my perfume gave out its fragrance. Ba'od shamelech Hashem meisiv v'mesibas chuposo chodal recho atov shel bosem haner tshali. Now the word chodal here sounds like it terminated. So that fragrance just petered out, so to speak. He says, Nasan, in this posuk, Nasan Recho means Ozav Lachirim, Posak Recho. Omar Rav, Vadayin, Chavivusa Hi Gabon, Dixiv, Nasan Recho, Velokasav Hisriach. In other words, even though the Torah is speaking about the shame of Klal Yisrael and disgracing Klal Yisrael, but nevertheless, God still, even at that moment, manifests a language of cherishment, of beloved. As it says, Nasan Recho, it doesn't say Hisriach. And what this means is that God didn't say that he, you know, the smell of Klal Yisrael was putrefied. He only said that it gave out, sort of it as we said before, it petered out. And the reason why Hashem chooses this expression is a mark of His continued love for Klal Yisrael, despite their faithlessness towards Him. Tanu Rabbanan, Haluvim v'enam olvim, Shomim cherposim v'enam ashivim, Osim me'ava. Those who are willing to accept insult, they don't insult others, they accept their humiliation and they don't respond. These are people who can be described as those who perform the mitzvahs bi'ava, out of a sense of love. Usmechim bi'surim, they're happy even in their state of suffering. And the makabel yisurim bi'ava, aleim akosiv omer vi'oavav. And the pasuk in Shoftim in the fifth parak says, "V'ohavav kitzeis Hashemesh b'gvuraso." Those who love Him shall, as the sun going forth in its might. And all this is an indication that, although the moon was originally as great as the sun, it was reduced in size after the moon complained. How could be shnei malachim misham shemikeser echad? The sun did not respond to the moon's complaint, and it remained undiminished. Those who suffer insult but do not respond are like the sun that goes forth in its might. They will emerge undiminished by their silence, whereas their antagonists will not only fail in their schemes, but they will be humbled as well. And all this is based on a medrash in Koheles Rabbah. Rabbi Yochanan, my dechsiv, what does it mean when it says, Yitain Omer Hamevasros Tzava Rav? And let's translate this pasuk, which comes from Tehillim, my Lord, make a declaration that heralds are a mighty host. And we interpret this as called Dibur, V'Dibur Shiyotza Mipi Agvura, every single enunciation of Hashem and Matan Torah, Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shonos, was so to speak translated into 70 languages. And Amira Achas, which here is called an Omer, is Ischalka was separated, it was divided up into Amiros Rabos, and that would teach the message or convey, transmit the message of the Torah, Litzava Rav, to a great hosts, and that's referring to the Umos HaOlam in their various languages. Now, it's very difficult that, and the Alshich points out that what was the Tachlis HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mashmir Dvarim in 70 languages. Yisrael didn't need that. They knew only Lashon Kodesh, Loshim HaShmam, we say about the Jewish people. And if for the Goyim, the Torah was not given to the Goyim, they didn't want to listen to the Kol Hashem. So why is the voice of God in the Torah translated into these 70 languages? He says, El Rak Kol Chareda Kemaymar Chazal Shohaya Kol Mahalech Misofa Olam V'yad Sofa V'chol Malchei Agoyim Achazusam Ra'ada Beheichalehem. So this element of the Torah being translated into so many languages, according to the Alshich, has to do with charada, to create a sense of awe and fear in the hearts of the Malchei Goyim, and that's what it means that they heard the call, the voice of Hashem in their language. According to the Marsha, on the other hand, the reason why it was translated to these languages is so that the nations world would not be able to claim in the future that if we had heard the Torah in our language, we would have accepted it. Debay Rabbi Yishmael, in the Brisa, in the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Yishmael, it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Halo kol dvarai ka'esh niyum Hashem ukepatish yifotzeitz sela. And that means that like the hammer, the word of God breaks a rock. Ma patish zeh nechlak lekamenitzotzos. Just like when you hit a rock with a hammer, it divide the rock, the stone divides up into various little slivers, is af. So too, called Dibur v'Dibur Shiyotza Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Matan Torah Nechlak L'Shivim L'Shonos. Every single enunciation of Hashem was divided up into 70 languages. Omer Rav Chananel Bar Papa, my dechsiv. What does the pasuk mean in Mishle? That the Divrei Torah announce and proclaim Shimuli, Shimuki, Negidim, Adaber. And this pasuk in Mishle means that listen, for I will speak princely things. Is Lama Nimshala Divrei Torah Kin Nagid? Why is the Torah, the words of Torah, compared to a prince? Loma lecha to teach you. Ma nagid said, just like a prince, yeshbo koach lahamis ulahachios. He has the power to give life or to take life. In other words, he can pardon someone who's been sentenced to death. After reitor yeshbem lahamis ulahachios. Now, Lahamis ulahachios is based on a statement, or can be understood in the light of the statement of Rava, Hainu diyomer Rava, la maiminim ba samadachai, v'las me'ilim ba samadimosa. For those who are osek b'torah in the right fashion, with all their power and all their energy, that's called yamin, the right hand, then it is a life-giving force. Torah gives life. Keim chayim. Samadachai. On the other hand, those who use the left, which is called ripu, you know, merapim es atzmo min haTorah, they're not willing to put out effort, is samadimosa. It's actually a potion, a very dangerous, poisonous potion. Dover acher. Here it says with regard to Divrei Torah Negidim, which is a language of princely kingship, and called Dibur V'Dibur. The reason for this is because every single one of the Aseret HaDibros Yotzei Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu at Sinai is Koshrim Lo Shnei Ksarim. They generate these two crowns. And that's the almost physical entity of the Dibur. The Dibur is like tangible in the sense that it generates these two crowns, and they could see them. They could actually see something, which, as the pasuk says, "Kolom roim es hakolos." Now, here we have a very important question of the Marsha. All the emphasis here on comparing the Torah to a drug, which indicates that just like a drug could be used to cure a person, but it could also, if it's not the proper drug, it could exacerbate his and worsen his condition. So to the Torah, if it's used appropriate, it's beneficial, it's a blessing, but on the contrary, if it's used in the wrong way, it could be a curse. It could mean death. Now the question of our show is, but we have a principle in Psachim on Daf Nun. It says, "Liolam Yilmad Adam Shalolishma, Afil Shalolishma, Shemitoch Shalolishma Balishma." And that principle applies, says the Marsha, to one who doesn't study for malicious reasons. He studies to receive honor, for example. But here the Gemara is discussing someone who studies the Torah for the sake of being contentions, and to use his knowledge as a weapon against others. So this is where we're going to stop here on Daf Peches, and we're up to Omar Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi, which I would say, just guessing, is about halfway down. It's the second of the wide lines at the two dots.